Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,800 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Anne Bollinger McQuaid, author of Everyday Oracles. Anne is a regular contributor to magazines, a popular workshop facilitator, and radio talk show guest. Anne shares her curiosity and passion for discovering the hidden, obvious, and encourages us to tune into the guidance and support that surrounds us all. Anne's perspective of the world is as alive, nurturing, and filled with personal oracles springs naturally from her Native American ancestry. As a child growing up in Kansas, she was intrigued with the idea of having Native American ancestors, but never considered her heritage relevant to her life. Her ancestral imprints began to emerge when a series of personal events that were triggered by her breast cancer diagnosis sent her hurling into what she describes as an invisible moving sidewalk. She believes that at certain times we all land on such a sidewalk designed to carry us to a specific destination. This particular sidewalk transported her to a place where oracles that were hiding in plain sight seemed to magically appear at precisely the right time. Anne coined the term personal oracles to describe those mysterious messages that guide and often comfort us, and in doing so, illuminate the interconnected world that is tuned in and available to us at all times. For more information, you can visit Anne's website, which is everydayextradimensions.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Anne to the show. Good day, Anne.
Good day, Robert. Thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure, and this is a return appearance of yours. We first spoke in August of 2013, almost 13 years ago. It's hard to believe.
I know. It really, now it's a very trite thing to say, time flies, but where did it go?
I know. And the beauty of speaking with you, and in particular about Everyday Oracles, is that yours is really one of the few books that I still recommend to this day, even so many years later. And it's because the information contained is timeless. I mean, it's one of those things that will always be present and can always be helpful.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you saying that, because that is the goal of that, is to make it something that's a go-to for people who want some reinforcement or the formula. We got a formula in there. And I didn't know this, you know, when we wrote it so many years ago, you know, a book takes a while. So we talked in 13 when it was out. So you can imagine all those years, but you realize how the universe works. And then when you kind of get a handle on it and you have the formula that I've got out there, I need a delivery system and a message, you can break it all down. And then this is just not my story. We have 175 stories of show people. This is what we're talking about. Do these resonate with you? So thanks for that. And if it's of meaning to people, that's one that I hope is just on the shelf indefinitely, so that the right person picks it up at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. So now I want to talk a little bit before we get into Everyday Oracles and everything that surrounds. You know, we just came through Mother's Day, and there were a couple topics that were on your press release that I kind of want to talk to first and get your insight. Now, to start with, you know, Mother's Day can intensify grief, you know, in many, and it can catch people off guard. Now, not just Mother's Day, but also other holidays, you know, that we come upon where we have lost a family member who was a vital part of that holiday, and they're no longer with us. So can you maybe give us a little bit of an idea of the, you know, handling grief with like an upcoming holiday that is particularly important?
Well, thank you. I would love to. And I think that I'm going to reflect for a moment back to my Native American heritage that sees the world as alive and interactive. And so in my family, we saw when we would have a family gathering, there would be a cardinal. And we all knew it was my Uncle Herb. So with that, just a brief thought on that perspective, when we have lost someone, if we can imagine that they aren't here in physical body, but maybe they are around us. And I think, so that has worked for me. That was very comforting to me. I also think that a comfort for all of us is very often knowing that there are a lot of us going through this grief, whatever it is, whether it's loss of a loved one or loss of a job or whatever. I think the idea now of not hiding behind it, if we can step into the grief and see the support that's out there, the grief groups that are popping up all over, whatever kind of grief it is, and thank goodness here we are with all our cell phones, we can move into all that. There's all kinds of support groups, and the idea helps me to see life as a purpose, even when it's something that's really hard to go through. If we realize there's a purpose in it and we can open ourselves to that, it's hard to open because grief hurts and grief has a tendency to isolate people. But I think when we can be brave enough or lucky enough or whatever takes us into that to find your kindred spirits that are out there. Another thing that I'm very strong on is I think that, well, first off, I love to, I'm veering into this with this a new thought for me, but, you know, when you're walking around, look out, as you see people and you feel like making a contact with their eyes, sometimes just really seeing a person and walking on, I'm not suggesting that we're going up to strangers or do if your spirit leads you that way, but I think to realize we are alone, but we're not as alone as we sometimes feel. And I think that to reach out where we know it's appropriate. And I think that I'm trying to find the right word, dulls that aching, not dulls, but it assuages it a little bit. It makes us realize that there are people out there. And when we find kindred spirits, I think that I'm way, way into community. And, you know, finding a community, meditation and things like that. Here's an old thing that I think might be good for somebody who doesn't feel like reaching out to find the support. For all my life, I don't know where I heard this, go to a random book, open it and see what it says. The Bible is what I got, and I'm ecumenical in my belief system, but so I picked Bible because we had one in my house. Open it up, see what it says. You'll be surprised sometimes. So I think the support for grief is around us. And if we are brave enough to reach out or hungry enough or curious enough, we will be soothed in surprisingly ways.
Yeah. And, you know, I used to be the type that wouldn't not only not do eye contact, but would do my best to avoid,
exactly.
That kind of thing. But I have learned, you know, over the years, and probably most recently in like the last 5 years, I've become more, I reach out more and more connected. You know, there are times when I would never speak to a stranger at all.
Yeah.
You know, but now in the grocery store, if I see a woman, a mother or a father pushing their young one and they, you know, the baby is exceptionally cute, I'll just make a remark, you know, like, you really got a good one there, you know, and it just brings a smile to the face, and it also brightens up my day as well.
Isn't that it's like magic. I hear what you're saying. It's like magic. And I don't know about you, but I do what you do. And it's like people are, this is an overstatement, but it's like we're hungry. Unless somebody's having a really bad day or it's their personality or whatever. But I think we all want that. I don't know when, I can't remember times when any reaching out like you're talking about ever got a bad response, you know? I think, yeah, reaching out, good on you. Good on you.
Yeah. Now, every now and then, I'll get a strange look, you know, but
well,
that's okay.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, I can get that with I'm sure you can all probably tell that I like to be playful, but no, there's the courage and the brave or whatever. You know, you reach out, and you know what? And then I think a lot of things like this. If somebody does, if it bounces right off of them, I don't take it personal. I see it personally. I feel like that's their day. And we may have a million reasons not to want to engage. So, but it's worth it. Isn't it worth it, Robert?
It is. Yes. And it's like no cost, you know. It's only a few moments. I mean, literally just a few moments. And throughout the day, you have tons of opportunity to do that kind of thing.
Isn't it so true? And, you know, as a female, what I think is, now I won't get off on this too long, but it's like, I love to open doors. I will scamper ahead to open a door just for the fun, because to me that is a very subtle, playful, silly honoring of that person. You know, I just think probably a lot of you are doing that. It's just so fun to do something unexpected like that that lets them know they've been seen.
Exactly, yeah, and I'll do that too. I mean, especially if they're, you know, automated doors. You know, let me get that for you. that's kind of looking like, oh, you're a real good one there. But that's okay. You know, it most often it brings a smile to the person's face.
Yeah, play where we can, you know, and that joy that is hopefully that we started talking about grief, but the joy that lays underneath grief, it's there. It's there.
Yeah. So now, regarding the, let's say, the holidays, you know, when an upcoming holiday is going to be a particular challenge because of loss or because of grief, what do you feel people can do to prepare for that?
Well, I'm going to go a little into the loss. Okay, so for me, let's say it's a loss of a loved one or a dear friend or something like that, I find that it really helps to honor them in some way, not as far as like their cultures, but like the Mexican culture really brings out food that person enjoys. And that is a way of honoring the person, a way of remembering them, a way. Now that may be if somebody's in really, really deep, I'm going to call it grief denial. That's my first on that one. But, you know, where you just don't even want to get close to that. You know, but if you're really wanting to welcome their spirit, let them know if, in fact, they can still know what you're doing. And it also is, I've done that before when my father passed, you know, make his favorite foods and have them out there. And don't have to say anything about it, but quietly to you. That is a way that you just let, you can feel it. I think sometimes for me, and I think we're all so alive, but I think that memories can do a lot. You can kind of travel on a memory a little bit so that if you're cooking something for, I'll stick with my father, I used to make great big holiday meals, and cooking his favorite things in there, pecan pie was one of them. I think to me it's almost like I'm not suggesting that this, but it's a time warp thing. So I think ways that we can feel good about that person and honor that person. And I think that to even, I don't know why I'm into all this part of it right now, but even wearing something that you know that person liked a lot. And then I'm going to go a little bit deeper into if you are grieving someone who's lost it and they are able to connect with you. There are some really popular things out there, or popular, maybe not the best choice, but things that happen every day with flickering lights. I think we've all read things like that. There are a lot of things that you can check and see if anything's happening like that. My uncle Herb, who cardinal, showed up at everything that when the family was getting together, someone was in the hospital, there'd be a cardinal sitting on that windowsill. So that's even if you don't see it, it could be a fun game to play. I think if we can edge yourself a little bit. That's what I guess I would like to kind of bring this around to. Edge yourself a little bit out of the stagnation or that frozen part of grief, you know? Yeah. Another thing I think is really good is tears. And I think that tears, once we can break that for a lot of people, I remember there was a time, well, I was really young, but I remember I felt like if I cried, I wouldn't be able to pull myself back together. So I have had that feeling, which sometimes it's not appropriate to cry. If crying helps, watch a sad movie and just sit there and cry. Those are some things I think that I know of that have been really valuable.
Yeah. Now, I have a good friend in Arkansas, and a cardinal is her sign of her brother Bruce, who passed on. You know, that every single time a cardinal appears, she knows Bruce is nearby. And this takes a moment to remember, to appreciate, and to honor, basically, his time that they spent together.
Exactly. And it's like a secret code to me. I think it's fun to think of it like a secret code. You know, if that is a code that person is picking up on, and it gives them that. I just discovered within the last couple of months, and I'm really bad on names, but there is a country star who just put a song out, or not just, but I saw it actually on Sunday, CBS Sunday News, that magazine show, and they had an interview with her, and the song is Cardinal. And it's available. Anybody that gets curious about it, just all of us know how to find things on our cell phone. Do Cardinal, and it is about a friend of hers that passed, and she breaks it down into, "Are you saying hi to me?" But it's beautifully done. It's a catchy. It's a very subtle song. So for anybody that's had birds that they were kind of wondering if they were a reminder from that person, it's beautifully stated and it's a catchy tune, but it's not an earworm. But it's
that's good.
it does go cardinal, and it's just basically that, and then goes into more. But you know, I think you and I talked before, I have a tendency to break into song at really weird times, but that'll be the last time for this one.
That's okay. I don't.
Okay, I'll get for both of us.
Well, it might be in my head. I might do it in my head. I just don't vocalize. Okay. Well, I want to go ahead now and move into talking about everyday oracles. You know, it has obviously been a very strong calling of yours to have had the book published, you know, a while ago, and still continue to not only promote it, but also recognize the importance of that. So can you, and I mentioned in the introduction that the idea of being hurdled onto an invisible moving sidewalk. Tell us, you know, because when I was going through and rereading the book, it just struck me that there are a couple parts to it. One is the destination. I mean, in a way, you are kind of directed without the ability to change course, you know,
exactly,
being on the sidewalk, and also that it speeds up the destination, the point of getting to that destination. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, just that whole idea of the invisible moving sidewalk, and if people want to kind of jump on board that, or even if people are currently experiencing something like that. Can you talk a little bit about that and its importance?
I would love to. And so I'll start with what, to me, the purpose of the invisible moving sidewalk that most of us have are on it at one point, whether we realize it or not, is I've always known that we're safer than we realize. I just knew it. I because of the way I grew up looking at the world, I knew that we're all safer than we realize. Now that sounds trite, but I do. And so my life path has always gotten me on the invisible moving sidewalks, that something will happen that will show me I'm safer than I realize. Here, let's go back to the breast cancer. Let's go back to when I had a gut feeling that said, get a mammogram. You know, we all get these gut feelings, and we all ignore them, and some of them we pay attention to. I did pay attention to that one, and it was minuscule that got in, and I had done what needed to happen, and it was minuscule and taken care of. And that I realized that whatever we want to call it, the universe, going back to the universe, is designed to support our needs. This is the whole personal oracle idea. Things happen around us that support our needs. I then looked at that, and that was the real turning point for me, and going, oh, this is more than just certain things happening randomly. These are happening with a purpose behind them. And so that was the relationship to the invisible moving sidewalk. There's purpose. It leads you from one place to another place to another place to another. And so once I recognized it wasn't a fluke, it wasn't an act, to me, that's how I interpret it, is we're mm-hmm. all interpreting all of our lives, thank God, because let's not let somebody else tell us, I shouldn't make that big of a statement, but I do make big statements, let's not let somebody else tell us what's happening, let's discover it for ourselves. So as we look at our life and we go, okay, what is the purpose behind that? So when I started to look at the purpose behind things, not just for me, but I then got curious, and that led me into, in the book that we're talking about, the Everyday Oracles book, in the published by Tartar Penguin, the subject line is decoding the divine messages that are all around us. Well, that can be fun, and that can be fascinating, and that, so if you see something happen and you don't know what you wonder, if you have this little thought and go, wait, what was that? You know, did that have meaning? Pay attention. Pay attention, yeah. And over, it may not be visible over time. It may be something that years later you realize, but you think back and go, wait, this has happened before. I saw, like your friend, wait, that's not the first cardinal I've seen, and I'm getting mm-hmm. this feeling that goes with it. So I think that these things are, I believe the design of the universe is to support us. And because I know there is no death, there's only a change of dimensions. That's also a Native American belief. And I've now experienced it with my father, who in the book, Everyday Oracle, he's the very last part of toward the tail end. And it was a cloud image I saw of him. And it was 10 years after he passed. And I was walking a labyrinth with someone I'd done. We have a labyrinth in our around our home, in the property around our home. And this is a clue for all of you if you're interested. I didn't see it, but I could feel it. And enough happened to me over time that I take a lot of photos. And I stop and I take a photo, and the woman that was walking with me from the workshop, later, because we were silent with a purpose walking the labyrinth, and I took the photo and I got back, and she asked me why, and I said, my father. And I have a photo of that in the book, in the last chapter. And he was there, and I could feel him there. And I don't feel him all the time, but he was dead. And you can see, and I have a picture of him in his body and a picture of him in that. So I would like to also suggest to anybody that feels an urge to take a photo with that camera that is probably in a pocket that you're walking around with in your blue jeans or whatever. But cameras, oh my goodness, cameras will reveal dimensions that our eyes aren't designed to see.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of those out there right now. And if you're interested, pay a little more attention, then let it. If the what's happening for you doesn't, the answer doesn't come immediately, write mm-hmm. it down, put it somewhere. And then you're going to create your own body of evidence if you care about that. And you can even see that where it was and wasn't a path. Like, is it on the invisible living subject? Oh, yeah, that happened and then that happened. So I think when yeah. we start to put pieces together, we construct a whole exciting part of our life.
I mean, yes, I agree completely.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes time to taking photos, that's my passion. You know, there will be times I'll just like focus, for example, on a water lily. And it's like, I just really like that, and would take a picture. And then after I download it, all of a sudden I see like maybe a dragonfly on it or, you know, another bug. And I call, you know, those little photo bombs, you know, as a surprise, you know. And I enjoy that because it's like that wasn't the intent. You know, taking the photo, but and I think that kind of just feeds into the idea of, yeah. you know, there's so much going on that our eyes don't pick up, but that is like a photo could reveal later on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, and I love that. I think that's a very exciting, not even a hobby. It sounds like a passion.
Yeah, it is very much. Now, a lot of this really requires one to believe in the interconnectedness of the universe, you know, that what we are a part of something huge, you know, that,
yeah.
And so can you, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, the idea of an interconnected universe and how does that maybe fit into or accommodate synchronicity and coincidence?
Oh, yes. I just think that's like the key. I think that you have, first, I think it's really hard in this time, and well, maybe forever, but I'm going to focus on this time of age and in our world where we're all tuned into our, I keep bringing up the phone, but people are scrolling, people are looking, things, people are on overload. There is news that we do and don't even want to look at. There's all this, and to find those quiet spots to be able to allow the other, let's call them voices for the lack of a, but the other messages that are out there. I think that is a step one. And I think that, you know, for people to, there's the people that need science to believe in something, that need to be able to document something, to look at things like the quantum field, the things like that are out there. If a person has that framework that their mind wants or needs to work through, then find that pathway. And that pathway, setting intention. What is our intention? Do we want to feel like we're part of a bigger scheme of things? Or can we be comfortable with not knowing all of it? Because we better get comfortable because there's no way. You know, I read something, I think it was something from Deepak Chopra in a book that he had out, and it was, the quantum field is not only, oh, I'm not going to be able to quote it, but it's not only more amazing than we can imagine. It's more amazing to even look at. So I think, and I've mauled that. I apologize. Deepak Chopra will never hear this, but you know, there are things that are out there that the people do work in those frameworks show us that you go further. I was in a group yesterday, actually, that was talking about this multi-universe that now is all over the internet and everything. And so I think that go as far as you want into all of, you know, I'd like to rephrase that. Go as far as it feels right to you. Go as far as it feels right to each of us as individuals to see what is our place in the universe. And I think that we will find secrets. We will find, especially again, let's go back to you and your camera and me and my camera, you know, and I'm going to pop real quickly over to one thing. If we do or don't have time, but when my husband passed and I went to the mortuary to identify his body, he passed in the hospital. I was with him. So it wasn't that kind of a thing, but it was like, that's the thing. You go, you identify the body. And I was with my daughter. I took pictures all around just because I wanted to. I don't even know why. Couple of days later, because I was very busy with the things that need to happen, I got, and this is on the website, the photo is there, but it is the non-visible light. You know, I'm very, clouds were a real teacher for me. Maybe a lot of you look at clouds and see images in the clouds, and maybe you entertain yourself or you get images, but there is an amazing profile picture of my husband's face in profile, and right behind him is not in, okay, non-visible light frequency being pink. So it's a different, you look it up online if you're into looking things up, non-visible light frequencies, you'll see the chart with all the colors. And so there's this pink around, and it's all over Kenneth's face. And then our dog, who we had to put to sleep 2 weeks earlier, profile, like they're headed in the same direction. Now, I showed it to Jim McDivitt, who was a friend of my husband, who was an astronaut, and who has since also passed. But I said, look at this. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, the camera, we always took camera lenses into space because camera lens is designed to see what our eyes can't see. So I'm going to back off of the camera. I don't go fast, but I'm going to back off of the camera lens a little bit. But like you and the dragonfly that you said, there are things that we see when we really look, but I'm afraid, this is my logic, this is all my own, if we saw it all, it's kind of hard to deal in this world the way it is anyway. If we saw all the things that are non-visible light frequencies, without a camera, I feel like the beautiful body design of our eyes to be able to focus ourselves in a little bit rather than to be overwhelmed with all the things that a camera will pick up.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be overwhelming if
yes,
you were able to do that. And so when it comes time for personal oracle, you know, the idea of personalized kind of communication, can you talk a little bit about, because one size doesn't fit all when it comes to oracles and communication.
Exactly. Well, and I think that that's a, thank you for that question. You know, personal oracles will relate specifically to the individual. So a personal oracle can be the things that we've already talked about. Just to recap, we've talked about birds can be a personal oracle from someone. Synchronicities, that something happens that you think, oh, it's a coincidence. Look deeper. There may be a purpose behind that that is, let's use the word, orchestrated. So the personal oracles come in all coincidence, synchronicities, signs and symbols. One thing, I learned a new word that it's called a cleedon, and that is when you're like, you're in a line, let's say you're in the line at the post office and you're thinking about something and you hear someone say something that relates totally to what you were thinking about, like a little, you get a piece of information that was missing right there. That's called the cleedon. So there are all these things that look like they're accidents. So when we go deeper and we, and all, to refer back to the book, because I, you know, don't have the, all the different categories in front, but there are different categories of ways that when we tune in and we see, hey, it's so fun to pay attention. You can be, imagine that you're on your own personal, you don't even have to share with anybody, I recommend sharing, but these are private messages for you that have meaning, each of us in our own way. And one thing I have learned that is sharing is paramount. But know when you share that it's yours and someone else may not understand that. So I would, if before I share, tune into yourself and say, is this where I want to share it? And you'll feel it over time. We all make times when I've gone, why did I even say that? But also maybe sometimes we'll share something and we'll never know why we shared it. And it could have been an important bit of information for somebody else's invisible moving sidewalk.
Yeah, very, very true. You know, and then, you know, some of the signs can include things like familiar places, animals, clouds, like you mentioned, smells, cell phones. You know, there. I mean, especially in today's technology, sometimes those messages really pop up, you know, in with the idea of an electrical kind of influence.
Yes, and with the frequencies, I don't know about all, I think I know about all of you, whether you're experiencing it or not, but these frequencies, they're glitches. It might be a glitch that you go, what in the world was that? But it might have been technical that if you go to your, I use a place called Simutech in town when my phone or my computer are glitching, but sometimes there's something else behind it. So I'm not saying we can find the answers to all of them, but I think, look, to me, living in a world, if curiosity appeals to your spirit, this is a fascinating place to be. And also where we focus, I want to also just put in the time that we're living in right now in 2016, wow, I almost said 14, 2016, there's a lot of rough stuff going on in the world. And what I choose to be is informed as I need to be, and then move my focus where with intention. So each of us do whatever, but I think that wherever we decide that we want to focus, intention will guide us.
And it's 2026. So and it's just amazing the things that we have been able to learn. You know, and you know, the idea of the interconnected universe, you know, we have, like you mentioned, a quantum perspective for those who like the scientific approach. And then there's the Hindu Vedas, you know, thousands of years old, you know, so, I mean, it's just one of those things. Now, if someone wants to, I guess, maybe develop their sensitivity or their awareness, maybe, of, you know, the oracles, the kinds of messages that one would give, what would be some suggestions that you have that they may want to do?
Well, I mentioned, and I'll mention again because it's kind of an interesting concept, but I'll do the short version. Create your own body of evidence. When if you do see something, you're going, wait, pay attention to that. What was that? If you start to share with someone, listen to that, pay attention, keep track of the things that are unique that you're already experiencing, and then create your own body of evidence. The thing that I also like to recommend, walking in nature, as you are probably doing when you're doing your photographs with flowers, walk in nature and set your intention if this appeals to you. See if the trees speak to you. I did a little video for a family member the other day with a tree, and this was birds and the tree. And I didn't set my intention, but again, you realize this is my life. But this could happen to all of you, is the reason that I am, each one of you. I'm very connected to birds as a group. As I talk to the birds, just, you know, them and me and out and around, and I'll just have conversations, and I get chirps from them. I'm not hearing words, but I get a response. And so I was in a certain area, and I decided I would send this, and I said, can you hear those birds? And the bird, there was a big tree, and the birds in the chorus sang back. They just went, and so I went, can you hear that? Because then they stopped, and then I went, can you hear that? And they went, and it was three times we paused, and they did that. And I'm taking a video, and then after I'm encouraging any of you to try this. This is not mine. This is for any of you. Okay. I took the photo, I quit, and it's a favorite tree of mine, but I took a photo, and I thought I was blocking the sun from, you know how you mess up your photos if it's too much. Mm-hmm. So I moved the sun, and I moved my position so the sun behind it, and it turned it into like an aura behind the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was, and now this was nothing I was setting up, I was setting up to just interact with this little person and send something fun out to them, but I had no idea that the universe was going to respond to me. So maybe with that kind of an idea in mind, any of you that think that might be fun, go out there in nature and see if it wants to interact with you. And I want to insert one thing that came to mind quickly because it's something I wanted to share on grief, and it's new information to me about ways to deal with grief. And I was talking to a man who shared with me, he's an arborist, and he was in Colorado, and it had been no rain forever. And it suddenly there was a huge downfall. The man laid down in the puddles, the ground as it was getting water, let it rain on him and be in it. And he said to me, this is what I'm building up to share, the universe, the nature is his safe place. So if nature, see if you find a safe place or a place that wants to communicate with you and do something. As this was very interesting to me, that he said he just laid down and just took it all in and connected with the earth and let him be in the water and rain on him.
Yeah. And you know, with birds, at the end of last month, I had a gentleman on the show who wrote a book, Saving Birds to Save the Planet. And it was a wonderful conversation about the importance of birds and how to help protect them as well. And they're a vital part of our ecosystem.
So true.
Yeah.
True. Thank you.
Now, we're kind of getting close to the end of the show. So I do want to mention, though, dreams, you know, because it seems that when it comes to communication and different kinds of oracles or messages, a lot of them can come through in the dreams. So can you just, you know, briefly talk a little bit about the importance in honoring the dreams that we have?
Oh, I would love to. And I've got a friend I haven't worked in dreams that much, but I do know that dreams can be like a portal. Dreams can be a portal for someone that we cannot reach. Generally, I read about it being someone who's passed, but the dreams can. It's that state that we can be in where dreams can allow something to come through, whether it is from someone who has left their body or whether it's for information that you need. Let's just maybe talk about them being a dream being a vehicle for yourself to give yourself information. Did that make any sense at all? You know, like for you, for information to come through you. Maybe that's a, if you've ever given anyone a massage and they went to sleep and you feel their body just, it's so relaxed. It's so different. I'm imagining that the mind does the same thing when it quits all the, whatever the structure is that it needs to work. Each of us individually have our own, you know, ways that our brains allow things in for whatever reason or not. But I'm thinking that, you know, so I think to me, dreams can be portals into deeper into, let's say to me deeper right now, deeper into yourself. And a portal for others to reach us. And I did take dream workshop years and years and years ago. And it was fascinating one of the things that I remember in that is like, you know how we wake up and we've got a dream and we're on the edge of it, but we know it was there, but we don't. And what they were recommending to do is let yourself drip back in and try to imagine, this is the thing. Imagine it's like a little mouse going, grab that little tail and pull it right. Don't let it go into the mouse hole. Pull it right back and get that dream back. Let yourself, that's an example of, let your mind go back to what it was and let it finish it. Or I have even gone into dreams that was an unresolved dream. And I don't know how I did it, but maybe some of you are already doing it or want to try it. Go back into that dream and end it the way I wanted it to end.
Well, this has really been a treat, Anne, to speak with you again. Now, I know that you have a couple books up and coming, Everyday Cloud Spear, as well as Everyday Life Afterlife. So I'm hoping that we will speak again, not in some years.
I look forward to always really, really enjoy being with you, Robert. We'll look forward to coming back.
Great. Thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Anne Bollinger McQuaid. We've been talking about her book, Everyday Oracles. And you can find out more by visiting her website, which is everydayextradimensions.com. And in closing, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.